that's one of the issues in this that's troubled, not necessarily with what you're doing, but just the whole way the workflow is going in a lot of places, is a file gets sent to a factory, mm-hmm. and someone cuts a lacquer, mm-hmm. and we don't know names, we don't know their qualifications in terms of artistry, because we know that, you know, a cutting is an art form, and there's a reason why when you see it on old records, Bob Ludwig or Doug Sachs, when you see their stamp or their name on the inner grooves, you have an expectation of what it's going to sound like. And today, the group will send the file to who knows who. So that's one concern.
Yeah. So how it will work is that the mastering engineers, they will send us the file once they optimized it with our software.
Not the audio file.
No.
The topographic file. I mean,
yeah.
The shape. Of
yeah.
the stamp,
right? Yeah.
Or at least the file where the topography is encoded, so we will.
And that's through your technology. They do their normal thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
The full system should work in the background, so they shouldn't really notice that there's something different. They just get additional information if they do the vinyl mastering.
Right.
Because internally, they just master their audio, and the HD vinyl, let's call it a plugin or an add-on, will check. On a physical basis, if it's feasible to produce based on this audio corresponding topography, which is actually a computer model of what the laser will generate later on. And if the software says okay, there is no exceeding acceleration, no problems, traceability is given, and the playback is assured, then it says okay, this file is ready for fabrication, and then it can be sent to us. And we just load it into the machine and do the laser cutting.
And at this point in time in the development of this process, how long is it from the time that you tell the laser to go to the time when it can deliver a finished stamper at this point?
Well, this will be becoming much shorter in future. Right now it's a long time because it's far beyond the real-time cutting that is done nowadays with the traditional right. technologies. So since we're optimizing the laser process and we're just at the beginning of finding the optimized parameters, what is the best way to generate the structure which really resembles the model, so we have to do a lot of analysis. And for this reason, it's a couple of hours now that we right. have to take into account to produce one side.
Just a few hours. That's not too long. That's not that long a period of time, in my opinion. When you consider that,
it depends on your patience. But
yeah, but it's automatic. You just push a button and it does
yeah.
it once all the parameters are set.
Yes.
And as we know, with digital technology, it doubles in whatever it's doing quickly,
yeah,
so
yeah.
if it's taking an hour now or 2 hours now,
yeah.
within not too long a period of time, it will happen more quickly. Will it ever yeah. be in real time, like cutting a lacquer?
We try to get even faster.
Faster than real time?
Yeah, because it's we don't rely on the playback of the audio to cut it, so we have the finished model,
right?
So we can and the laser
we dump
technology
it to the laser, so to
yeah.
say,
yeah,
yeah. And the laser technology is very flexible and scalable, so we can use multiple lasers. We can use multiple, let's call it, writing heads, where we focus the laser on the surface, and they can work in parallel. So it's like probably you have seen some science fiction movies where you have robots with multiple arms and they are doing their surgery.
Or sure,
it's
yeah.
It's a similar picture.
So have you actually cut and pressed anything yet?
We did some test cuttings, but not yet with audio. We have brought here those first templates or... It's not really a prototype in the meaning of with cut information. We just cut the materials and showed that some engraving that can be done yeah. by the laser, and so we build it with our logo. And that's why there is no pressing yet. But this is on our roadmap, and soon there will be first blanks available for testing without structure, and then we go to the next step, and we'll do some laser engraving of mathematical functions like a sign, so that we know for analysis how is the reproduction by the laser, does it really correspond to the model. So this is the verification, the quality control that we have to introduce into the broad process, and this will also be sent out to pressing plants for optimizing their process, since they will get another material, another thickness, so they have to adapt a little bit the process parameters and optimize it, because in the end we want to get the best out of it.
Well, yeah. And so can you at this point draw a realistic timeline from where you are now to when there will be a playable, high quality sounding record, or are we still a little bit ahead of that curve?
Well, if everything works out as planned and there are no major difficulties, I think there's a good chance that mid of 2019 we will have our first one available. Probably it's just a 7-inch single format.
Right.
This we will see, but this is somehow that we want to keep it alive and come and push it rather quickly to forward and to an end. So,
sure.
Hopefully we are lucky and we can handle this in this way. And
the first thing you should record is what Thomas Edison recorded with, you know, was it Mr. Watson, I Want You?
Yeah,
whatever
that was. Had a little lamp.
Yeah, whatever it was, that's what you should do. Just for the...
With the crackles?
Yeah. whatever it was.
Yeah, but Michael, you have to understand that the machine we are using, which is 500,000 euros, 1.5 tons.
We call it Molly.
Molly, yeah. It's just in operation, not in full operation since 2 weeks. So so we are very early.
It's 1 week. It arrived at our lab at the 17th of September. And there was a full week of installation, setting up the system, checking the
specifications.
Yeah,
not surprising.
I started the first tests on Monday the 24th, I think. And we came here on Friday, Saturday.
But so that's a big step to actually have and you have investors who are putting up the money for this?
Yes,
we do.
Well, you see, after last making vinyl, we were already expecting some steps from the funding side, but in the fourth quarter we have closed one funding route with a public agency. Then we have private investors which put 1 million of equity into the company.
Okay.
Then we get some grants, which totals to something around 3 million of funding in the Series A. And now, just 2 weeks ago, we got another 1.6 million for 2 years of research, mainly for the software part. So we are never funded well, but it's still a considerable amount of money for such a small company.
Sure.
So that we are, and we have assembled a great team, like Volker has joined the party officially.
I've got all your names in an email, right, for when I write about this. Because I'm bad with, if I was good with names, I'd be a politician. But I'm not good with names, so that's one of my weaknesses.
So you see, the things we have somehow promised last year became reality.
Yeah. My card.
Okay, that's very, very helpful to me.
Yeah. So, and we hope that to keep that pace.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, mid of next year, for something to be. You can listen to.
Yeah.
So still ambitious, but
it's feasible.
It's feasible.
So the thing that concerns me, but it's something that I think about. When DMM was invented, copper cutting, mm-hmm. that produced a sound that was very different than lacquer, and a lot of people didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly until the mastering engineers learned to work with it. And even now, it's not necessarily what people want, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So are there parameters that you can work with to affect the sound? I mean, what exactly do you think you're going to get when you do this precision cutting?
Yeah, I think this is something that can really be tuned by the laser, because there is a big difference of our process is that this is basically a non-contact method. So I don't have to deal with mechanical properties of my substrate, even it's a lacquer or a copper. For the laser, actually, it's no big difference, because we are working now on a ceramic material which has exhibits a large hardness.
And since there is only a very controllable removal of the material by the laser focus, we are not really restricted to any mechanical limitations from the cutting, like overheating or the stiffness or viscosity of the lacquer or the stiffness of the copper and so.
So you know, like in plugins now, in the digital recording world, there are plugins designed to simulate certain kinds of sounds.
Yes.
You know, so you can simulate a tube, or you can can you, in this process, in the software, simulate the sound of a lacquer versus the sound of a copper disc, or is this something totally different?
As long as it is reflected by the topography that is produced, it can be simulated.
Yeah.
So if there is a I mean, you can really go to the details. If you know your cutting stylus and your lacquer, for instance, and the mechanical or viscomechanical parameters, you know, and you have taken measurements, like you want to cut a sine wave into the lacquer, and then you make measurements to see, okay, I had this sine with this amplitude and frequency, and it came out in the lacquer that it looked similar or some difference, and you can quantify it so much. And if I know it, that there is a certain definable deviation between what I want to cut and what comes out in the lacquer process.
So like a sonic filter. I got that.
Yeah, but it's not software. It's really, then it's physical. So
yeah.
I can change the topography to whatever characteristics you want, basically.
So what is a blank cost at this point, a ceramic blank?
The cost. We started to look for commercially available materials to keep the costs low.
Yeah.
So right now we have pieces that are between 10 and 20 euros per plate. So this is quite reasonable.
Yeah.
But we can just say, once we have finished the testing and found that, okay, this material is the best one we could found, then we have to talk about the pricing. So the first is that it's really suitable to the process and gives the best results, and then we can discuss with the supplier. And there's also a large margin from how many pieces you order.
Sure.
If you need 100 a month or 500 a month for the next decade, then I will get a cheap price. So I think it's although it's a more advanced material, it's competitive.
So when a guy cuts a lacquer and he puts his name on the inside,
yeah,
or he puts a stamp on it, can the software include,
yes,
that?
You can sign it, you can add any features that you want. We thought about this because the laser basically is used in many different applications. So it's used in optics, and from optics, you know, the holographic structures, which are computer generated, they can be produced by the same setup that we have. And so we can add on optical features, like haptic features. You can write your logos, your name, and code, any additional information you can write on the same surface, on a free space, some means against counterfeit. So it's,
but that would be done by the laser, not by someone physically.
Yeah, this is done by the laser.
And
yeah,
if they're going to cut Sergeant Pepper in the end, it has to be a locked groove and repeat. You can do that too. I'm thinking all these ridiculous things. You can do all that stuff.
Well, yeah, I think whatever comes to the mind of the people can be realized by the laser system, because we don't have any predefined hardware that we use for the production,
like spacing, like grooves or things like that.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll be able to get longer sides without lowering output level?
Well,
or limiting dynamics.
I think it will be possible, since we know the complete topography, to optimize it in a spatial point of view, because we know exactly every coordinate of the groove, and so we know the spacing at each inch of the groove, and this can really be narrowed down to 1 micron or even extreme case zero. But we have to keep a little distance to,
yeah,
avoid the
sure,
cross, the crossing of the, of,
yeah,
of the stylus, and so we are not really. Like, for instance, you have, when you do the lacquer cutting, this material is like a little bit, it feels like a rubber. So you have the mechanical, the knife-like stylus, and you move it, you heat it, and you move it through the lacquer, so it becomes liquid, and it spreads out.
Right.
So it builds something like a little ridge around. So this is not the case in the laser, because I can really precisely remove the material, because there is no heating of the material. So I shine my laser on the surface, and at the focal spot of the laser, the material is removed and very confined to this interaction with volume. So there is no ridges or any deterioration of the sample around the laser focus. So I don't have to take this into account, and I can narrow down the gaps. So even with a higher amplitude, we think we can go closer with the neighboring grooves, so that as a net effect you get the level you want and an increased play.
And how? So this is removing material. The laser is removing material.
It's ablating.
Where
material.
Does that go? Is it vacuumed out?
There is a vacuum pump and an air filter which just does the suction, so the particles are removed right from the place where they are produced.
Similar to cutting a lacquer in the sense that you have to remove what you're cutting away.
Yeah, but on this very much smaller scale, because this is molecules and not chunks.
Right.
It's like when the laser shines it on the substrate, then there is some. It looks like a fume cloud or so. So the particles are emitted at a rather high velocity from the surface, and then we have a pipe which just sucks in the air, and so they are removed. And this is all non-contact, so it's not really. There's not a problem that we must not break the thread when we cut it or so. It's
right. It's not going to catch fire either. So
it's very safe. Yeah.
So are you a vinyl person, or are you just sort of poured into this from outer
at
space?
Least, from my age, I'm actually a vinyl person, because in my youth, there were just vinyls available, and we went to the stores and bought them, and it was
really... Yeah, you don't look that old, but I guess you're well preserved.
Well, thank you.